Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to do play, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, 6 Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the 6 Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the 6 Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the 6 Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we have with us on the old gospel bus this afternoon as we get started off tonight?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
All right. Well, what kind of prayer requests we got?
We have pray for Emily and her mom and me, and pray for you that you have clarity of thought and speech and everything whenever you're doing your thing today. And just want to praise the Lord. That'll do.
All right, and of course, all of the situation over there in Israel, Brother Tim, all our country's leaders, they need to seek after God, not after man, our first responders, our military, all our medical workers, and all of our sick and shut-in, no matter where they may be. Of course, Emily and her mom, a young lady that we had a prayer request earlier today on the Children's Bible Time. For, of course, the blind ministry, and, of course, like you said, yourself and me and the blind ministry and its needs, Six Eyes Radio Network and its needs, as well as that soul who was nearest hell. So we are going to – anyone else join us just yet?
Not that I could see.
Okay, well, then we're going to have you open us in a word of prayer, and then we'll get ready to get into our show.
Oh, Lord, we praise and bless your name, and you know what all their requests are, and you know how to handle them, take care of them. So we just want to praise your Lord name, and I just hope everybody enjoys the show. Amen.
Amen. All right. And, of course, we got lined up for you, of course, great gospel music tonight. And then, of course, we got a great message coming from our Holiness Bibles for the Blind archives. Tonight, if you wish to get a copy of it, all you have to do is go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. You click the tab that says Sermons, then click the link that says Holiness, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S, Holiness. Click that. Then you'll go down that page till you see the sermon title, Softening a Crusty Heart. Softening a Crusty Heart. This is a message, a testimony by a military guy who talked about how he was real rough and all that, and God had to soften his heart. So I think you'll enjoy that. In fact, there's a lot of people out there who have heard this guy before, who've actually heard his testimony before and know this testimony by its title, that, Softening a Crusty Heart. So if you wish to get a copy of it, you just click that title. It'll bring up the whole information on that title. And then if you wish to get a copy, right there on that page will be a download link. Click the download link, and you'll automatically get a copy of that. Of course, no charge at all. Not one red cent for the download. We do not charge through our blind ministry for that download. But if you wish to send a donation, a link is provided on that page for a love offering, which is totally separate from the download. And you can click that link, and you'll be on our secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card and or PayPal account. And we would appreciate that, and God would richly bless you for that. But you can get your free download of that. softening a crusty heart. After that, we will have Tim Groover, and he is continuing with his song and poem. Will he continue with his good role? Will he make it for 20 for 21? Or will he go flopped on his face? We'll see tonight. And then, of course, Ruth is going to be going into Bible prophecy tonight. And where are you taking us, Ruth?
Germany.
Ooh, taking us into Germany. Okay, for all of you folks who want to know what Germany has to do with Bible prophecy, stick around, find out. Okay, one last check, Ruth. Anyone join us?
No, I just went in there and checked. It's just us.
Okay, well then, let's get right into our program tonight. And everybody, we hope you enjoy. So here we go.
Realize that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder.
Shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. We're going into Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8.
But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
And as you can see, God speaks to the Son, Jesus Christ, and he says, thy kingdom, O God. God himself calls Jesus God, which is also found in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God, and he has the scepter forever. So, that is found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Amen.
Jesus came to give. waters cold. Anywhere he leads me, I would follow, follow on. Walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere he leads me, I would follow.
Free for all, his grace. taking up the dream God's planted in the fertile soil of you. I can't believe the hope He's granted me. The chapter in your life is through, but we'll keep you close. In big and small ways, we'll keep the love that keeps us strong. And you know, friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. With the faith and love God's given, from the hope we know, we will pray the joy you're living is the strength that now you show. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't be gone, 'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And it's always true. And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long to live.
Get on board, the train's about to leave and it's headed up the heavenly way. Get on board and don't be late, 'cause the Lord can't wait all day. He told us in his book how to travel that road that leads to the promised land. We got the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Everybody get on board. This train is here, everybody draw near and listen to the gospel call. If you ride this train, you got a lot to gain.
And the Lord wants to take us all.
We're gonna ride up high. We will never say goodbye to the one who paid the price to ride. You better get your ticket, 'cause you don't want to miss. It's gonna be the ride of your life. Get on board. The train's about to leave and it's headed up the heavenly way. Get on board and don't be late, 'cause the Lord can't wait all day. He told us in his book how to travel that road that leads to the promised land. We got the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Everybody get on board. For the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Extrabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you can call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie at gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, Then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is Abba. A. B is in boy. A. Abba. It is the Hebrew word for father. And it is written, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Everlasting Abba. The Hebrew word for father, Abba. A. B as in boy. A. Abba. The Prince of Peace. Lord Jesus Christ, hence his Messiah, the Everlasting Father, having speaking to him, he proclaimed as God manifest in the flesh, as Son of God, I and my Father are one. And again, the Hebrew word for Father is Abba. A, B, boy. A is the Heavenly Father. God the Father, is he your Father? Are you his child, his son, his daughter? This day? If not, now is he accepted to you. Today is the day of salvation, the day of Yeshua. Jesus saves. Until next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. God bless you and yours. Thank you.
The men who died, who gave that right to me. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, it's right in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, God in heaven cares for me.
professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man. As he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Shortly. Hope you are here. Hope.
food is ready, get waiting. Love you. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
I wasn't raised in a Christian home. In fact, I was born on a little farm down in southern Missouri. We was about 7 miles north of Arkansas. And they used to accuse us of having one leg shorter than another for walking around on them hills. But there was 12 of us kids in our family. My dad usually called the roll when we come to supper. But we had a lot of fun down there as I was growing up as a youngster, and we didn't have a whole lot as far as material things, but I really loved my dad, and my dad always took time for me, always. He took time for all the kids, and he taught me a lot of things. When I was 13 years old, my dad dropped dead of a heart attack, and we'd made a lot of plans together, and that wasn't in it. My dad had taught me a lot of things. He taught me how to skin a rabbit, drive a nail, saw a board, a lot of things. And I really loved that man. And I didn't have him anymore, and it took me about 6 months before I could come to grips with that. It just absolutely destroyed me. And then I got angry, and I felt cheated. I got angry at the world. And so I struck out in rebellion. Nobody led me into sin. There wasn't any wrong crowd that come and got me. I built the wrong crowd and went and got others. And I really went into some bad things and really broke my mother's heart and just struck out at the world. And I got caught up in it, and we were had a little homebrew project down the gym. And the principal didn't think a lot of that. And so then I got into a group that was even worse than that, and things really got bad. And finally, I got old enough where a good friend of mine decided that maybe I ought to try the service. He was the deputy sheriff. And he allowed how that probably was a good plan, and after he got through talking with me, I thought it was probably a good plan. And I thought, well, I'll teach him something, because I knew pretty much everything. I'd done about everything, and those things I hadn't done, I had told it that I'd done it. I believed it myself. And so I went to service, got on the Greyhound bus, not sizing everybody up to see what's going on. We got on down there to a place where they was going to do basic training on us. And I was sizing guys up, and they fell out there hollering at everybody, line up and fall in and all that. And I had this young fella carrying my bags, and we was horsing around. You know, I was playing the role as a big gunner. And this fella come over and said, young man, you hear me? I said, fall in over. I said, I'll be there in a minute. He hit me. I hit the ground. I was looking up at that fella, and he was a good-sized fella, about an 18-and-a-half-inch neck. And he picked me up and put me in the line there, he got in front of us, and he said, man, I want to tell you something. He said, I'll be your mother, your father, your girlfriend, your chaplain. I'm everything to you. And I believed him. And the thought crossed my mind at that time that maybe there was one or two things I hadn't learned yet. So I tried to pay attention, and I went on about my business there in the Army, but it really took a hold of me, and it was the dynamic that I needed, discipline. My father's a disciplinarian. My dad never begged us or coerced or anything. He just spoke once, and if we didn't respond, we was usually in a heap over at the side somewhere. And you don't have to roll across the living room more than about twice. You can train a monkey. had missed a lot of that, and so I appreciated this sergeant and became my DI, and he taught me a lot of things, a lot of things. And one thing he taught me is shut my mouth. And he taught me how to make a bed and to peel potatoes and scrub pots, do a lot of things. He even taught me how to dig a big old hole. Put my pass in it and then dig it back up. I'm never so glad to leave a man in my life. I wasn't. I finally saw a corporal and I thought, boy, I want to be a corporal. You know, I really, that was my aspiration, really be a corporal. I thought there's really something. And so I worked hard and tried to pay attention, finally got out of basic, got dying, and got on into the service and really tried to make something of myself. And after my first hitch, I thought, well, that's it. I've taught them about all I can here, and I guess I better go on back. So I went on back home, and a lot of folks knew I was coming and everything, and the old gang and everything. And when I got off the bus, there was my dear friend. And so me and Deputy got in his car, and we went down to... went down and had some coffee, and he said, you know, Don, we've cleaned up a lot of places around here in 3 years, and he went on to tell me a lot of things, and convinced me that I really wasn't needed there any longer. And that I ought to go out and further the education of other communities. So I decided the best thing for me to do is get back in the service. So I did, and I hadn't been in back in long, and I was a sergeant then, and the company commander called me in and said, we're sending you to OCS. I said, no, I don't want to go. He said, I didn't ask you that. You're going to OCS. It's pretty difficult to argue when you stand at attention. They had a quota system in them days, and you just met your quota, so I was one of the quotas. So I went on to OCS, and I wouldn't go through that school again for Brigadier General. I wrote my mama and asked her to get me out. She said, no way. Said, you made it, you'd live with it. And I finally got out and got my commission, and then I went on back home on furlough and spied this little girl that I'd tried to date. In fact, she was a church person, and her family was church people. Now, they weren't saved, but they had a lot of religion, a lot of ritual, but nothing real. They sat there and listened to the preacher, looked like they needed another Rolaid. And then they'd grin and shake hands, do a little back slapping, and get back out in the car, and then it's, And she thought, well, I'll go ahead and marry this fellow. I'll change him, get him straight away, you know. And so we got married, and she made the tactful mistake of thinking that she was going to change me. I was a heavy drinker by then, and I was really a workaholic. I worked very hard. I was very serious about my job. I was serious about what I was doing. And if I've been raised to believe that anything you do, you give it everything you've got. And if it's not worth doing that, then just go on and lay down. And so that was the way I was raised, and that's the way I was working in the service, and it became my God. And I worked very hard. One day I was at the Command General Staff College. I'd gone to Vietnam and had survived that, and came back and was promoted again and went to Command General Staff College. And I was there working very hard, wanting to make very good in the Commandant's List and the top 10% of the class, and didn't have time at all for my family. I just kind of used them. I didn't really have time. I hadn't told my wife I loved her since I conned the preacher into marrying us. And I didn't love her. I had affection for her. I had lust after her. She met a part of my life that I needed companionship in, but I didn't love her. I didn't know how to love because I wore a great big mask. You see, I loved my dad desperately. And as a result of that, when I lost him, I couldn't get hurt again. And so I put on a big mask and a big front. And I went back to Vietnam again, and this time I had a little more rank. And she, before I had gone to Vietnam this last time, she tried to commit suicide. Praise God, she was unsuccessful. And the neighbor then, a few days after the trauma wore off, came over and presented Jesus Christ in a real way, and she got saved. And she tried to tell me about her faith and her Lord, and I didn't want to hear it. I didn't have time for Jesus. One day she said, don't you think maybe you ought to get your kids to Sunday school? I allowed to tell you, I probably ought to do that, and it's probably good for the career. I'm getting close to general, and I ought to have everything squared away. So Well, I went downtown in a little bitty church and got down there and went in, and something scared me right away. There was some men in the church. Now, I'd been in and out of churches quite a bit. I used to date young girls. Their folks had never told them about guys like me. Going to churches real easy, no problem. And I'd see a lot of women. See a man up there behind the thing, and a lot of women, some retired fella maybe, giving out bulletins, and a real nice fella. But I didn't see the ruggedness of manhood that I had been trained was a man. And I didn't see any men standing for their faith. And so when I walked in this little church, and here was two big dudes. Remind me of that D.I. that had put me through it. And they said, "Welcome, how are you?" One almost broke my hand, the other dislocated my shoulder. And it really bothered me. Well, these guys are men. What are they doing in a church? So I went over and sat down with my family and everybody there, and in came this choir and this fellow, white hair, crew cut, the great big Bible in his hand. They come in, and the choir did their thing, and he opened the book and got up and started to preach. And he said, "Open up to John." And everybody's rustling. I looked around, and every one of them men had a Bible. I'd never seen that before. And pretty soon I'm sitting there, and one of these fellas come over and plop, and there was a Bible in my hand now. I was about halfway through the service before my son said, "Turn it over, turn it over." And I was sweating, miserable. That guy's talking about Jesus Christ paying the price for my sin and all my phoniness and all my rottenness, already paid for, all that debt already canceled. And it scared me. And it made me miserable. And I got up and left. And after a while, I was out there smoking. I looked like Kaiser Steel. It was just miserable. Thought I'd have to get better to die. And finally, she came out. Everybody come out. I got in the car, laid some rubber out, went back to the fort. I said, "That man's crazy. Don't ever ask me to go back down here again." In the past, she would have been on me like ugly on an ape. She just said, "Yes, dear, fine." And that made me madder, and I just commenced cussing and ranting and raving, and I finally shut up when my children started crying. I was miserable that week. I was sick. That guy was crazy. He kept saying something about Pilate, a fellow by the name of Pilate, and they're hanging Jesus on the cross. And he told the crowd, "What are you going to do with this Jesus who is called Christ?" And that kept waking me up at night, and I'd hear that. "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" I couldn't get that out of my mind. "What shall you do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And all week long, it just bugged me and just tore my guts out, and I was miserable. Finally, woke up Sunday morning just clear as a bell. Went in, started fixing breakfast. The family come in. "So what are you doing, Dad?" I said, "I'm getting breakfast." "Said, how come?" I said, "We're going to church." I looked around. Man, I didn't want to go to church. That was the last place I wanted to go. I couldn't help myself. My wife didn't say, "Well, I told you so. I knew we'd get you." She never said any of that. She just said, "Hey, that's fine, honey, if that's what you like to do." And that made me angry. And I went down there, and we even beat the preacher to the church. I was sitting there, and that voice kept telling me, "Koba, you dumb guy, get out of here. Get out of here." It was about a foot or so from my hand to the keys, and I didn't have the power to turn the key on. I couldn't move my hand. I couldn't leave. I wanted to leave. I couldn't. Finally, the preacher come. And I thought I was the only guy in there. And I was miserable. My tie got all tight, and I was sweating. I undid my tie, and he said that Jesus Christ was the bridge between me and God. And all the religion in the world wouldn't get me right with God. And if I didn't have Christ, I was going to hell. Because the Bible said that you can't get into heaven unless you're holy. Well, I knew that ruled me out. Because I wasn't holy. I'd lived a lie so long, I believed it myself. And he went on and preached, and I don't remember a lot of the other things he said, but then he went on and he said, "What are you going to do with this Jesus who is called the Christ?" And that triggered what had been inside my head for a week. And he said, "If you want to get your heart right with God, I ask you to come right now. Because if you're not serious enough about it to do it publicly, then it's another lie." I stepped on the old lady's foot that sat next to me. She let out a screech. I felt bad about that. I went on down the aisle, and there was a lot of people in there that knew I was one of the senior commanders. I had a very prestigious job. I traveled all over the world. I was in now the Pentagon every 2 weeks. I went to NATO, SHAPE headquarters, and everybody knew me and knew who I was, and I didn't care. And I got up there, and here's this old fella up there. He said, "What do you want, young man?" I said, "I want to do what you said." He said, "What is that?" He made it awful hard on me. I said, I want to get right with God. I want to have Jesus. I didn't know what to say. He said, you want to be saved? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, are you willing to put Jesus Christ in control of your life? I said, yes, I am. He said, then on that basis, let's go to Calvary. And we knelt right there while they were singing Amazing Grace. And I asked Christ into my heart. This fantastic experience. Got home, ran, looked in the mirror. I looked the same. I thought something's going to change on me. Everything's going to be everything new and all kinds of things. And I looked the same. And I looked, that guy sold me a bill of goods. And my wife asked me what the problem was. And I told her, I said, I don't look any different. She said, it's inside, darn. It's inside. Jesus inside. And then she started sharing with me. And then I felt all right. And so we got down to business. And first thing God did is take away my X-rated mouth. And I had to fish for words and everything, and it was kind of weird. I'd be in a little circle of people, and everybody would be talking that talk, and I'd try not to talk that talk, and then pretty soon they'd quiet down, and it was kind of weird because I wasn't talking that talk, and they'd start stumbling around. We'd all be stumbling around trying to talk to one another. And then God worked on the booze angle. I had a private bar in my home and about $300 worth of booze. Kept it stocked, and I thought, well, Lord, all right, I'll give that up, and I'll give it to my neighbor. And the Lord just seemed to tell me, well, if it ain't good for you, it ain't good for him. So I started pouring it down the sink, and my wife come in from grocery shopping and seen me pouring all this booze down. We got happy, and the Lord commenced crying. We both just poured all that booze down, quart after quart of it. I know the garbage man that next Monday said, well, he did it again. Delivered me. And then God did something fantastic. He gave me a love for my woman. I'd never experienced it before. It was fantastic. I loved her just like she was. I was so thankful for that woman. And I couldn't tell her enough how much I loved her. It just was just overwhelming. And I loved my kids. But I didn't love my kids until I went through a deep water with them. I was one of them kind of guys that made a federal case out of most everything. And when I told my children to be home 9 o'clock, it didn't mean 1 minute after. You could come in 5 minutes early. Wouldn't be penalized too hard for that, but don't ever be late. And I told my oldest son, you be home 9 o'clock, and he came in about 10 minutes after, and I was out in the garage, and he came in, and he said, I'm sorry, I'm late, Dad, and I reached over and backhanded that boy, knocked him off his bike and over into the wall. There's blood running down his mouth, and he said, Daddy, I love you. And I fell to my knees, and I asked forgiveness from God and of that boy. And through that, Jesus taught me to love and stop condemning and ridiculing. And I praise God for the love that he's given me. And then I started growing, and I expected too much too soon. And I get my eye on this guy and on that guy. But I want to do what they're doing, and how come I can't do like that? And pretty soon my life became a roller coaster, up, down, all around. And I was losing my peace. I was losing my joy. And then I noticed the old mask started coming, trying to get back on me. And I was comparing myself with other people. And I found that that's wrong. And I searched the Word of God, and the thing that kept coming into my mind was, what shall I do with this Jesus who is called Christ? If you're here today and you don't know him in a living, personal, real way, my dear friend, I don't believe that you're one of his. Because the Bible says you have to have fruit. Fruit. And Jesus said that there isn't any fruit that comes from a thorn bush. And I found in my own life that until he was Lord of all, he wasn't Lord at all. What are you going to do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? Where do you stand to your wife, fellas? God's got the power to heal your marriage. I don't care what's wrong. We were headed for divorce court. My wife tried to kill herself. I don't care what it is. Jesus Christ has got the power if you've got the desire. But it has to start with you. The security of your whole family rests on you. What a glorious privilege that is. God wants all of us. That's all he wants. If you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you today, don't get caught up in some religion. You can have ritual running out your ears, but unless you have the real thing, your life won't be changed. Where do you stand with your wife? Where do you stand with your children? All of these dynamics of becoming God's man is simply getting our priorities together. The Lord Jesus Christ, my woman, my children, and everything else. And when I get those out of order, I'm going down. But when I keep those in order, looking to Jesus, what God does is put it together one brick at a time. And God wants to put your life together on this mountain one brick at a time. I don't care what your problem. God loves you, and he wants all of you that you may experience all of him.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostle's message still applies today, for there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary. So his word I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise.
Church and the world walked far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song, and the church a hymn sublime. Come, give me your hand, cried the merry world, and walk with me this way. But the good church hid her snowy hand and solemnly answered, nay. I will not give you my hand at all, and I will not walk with you. Your way is the way of endless death. Your words are all untrue. Nay, walk with me but a little space, said the world with a kindly air. The road I walk is a pleasant road, and the sun shines always there. Your path is thorny and rough and rude, and mine is broad and plain. My road is paved with flowers and gems, and yours with tears and pain. The sky above me is always blue, no want, no toil I know. The sky above you is always dark. Your lot is a lot of woe. My path, you see, is a broad, fair path, and my gate is high and wide. There is room enough for you and for me to travel side by side. Half shyly the church approached the world and gave him her hand of snow. The old world grasped it and walked along, saying in accents low, "Your dress is too simple to please my taste. I will give you pearls to wear, rich velvet and silks for your graceful form, and diamonds to deck your hair." The church looked down at her plain white robes and then at the dazzling world and blushed as she saw his handsome lip with a smile contemptuous curled. "I will change my dress for a costlier one," said the church with a smile of grace. Then her pure garments drifted away and the world gave in their place beautiful satins and shiny silks and roses and gems and pearls. And over her forehead, her bright hair fell, crest in a thousand curls. "Your house is too plain," said the proud old world. "I'll build you one like mine, carpets of Brussels and curtains of lace and furniture ever so fine." So he built her a costly and beautiful house. Splendid it was to behold. Her sons and her beautiful daughters dwelt there, gleaming in purple and gold. And fairs and shows in the halls were held, and the world and his children were there. And laughter and music and feasts were heard in the place that was meant for prayer. She had cushioned pews for the rich and the great to sit in their pomp and their pride, while the poor folks, glad in their shabby suits, sat meekly down outside. The angel of mercy flew over the church and whispered, "I know thy sin." The church looked back with a sigh and longed to gather her children in. But some were off in the midnight ball, and some were off at the play, and some were drinking in gay saloons. So she quietly went her way. The sly world gallantly said to her, "Your children meant no harm, merely indulging in innocent sports." So she leaned on his proffered arm and smiled and chatted and gathered flowers as she walked along with the world, while millions and millions of deathless souls to the horrible pit were hurled. "Your preachers are all too old and plain," said the gay old world with a sneer. "They frighten my children with dreadful tales, which I like not for them to hear. They talk of brimstone and fire and pain and the horrors of endless night. They talk of a place that should not be mentioned to ears polite. I will send you some of the better stamp, brilliant and gay and fast, who will tell them that people may live as they list and go to heaven at last. The Father is merciful and great and good, tender and true and kind. Do you think he would take one child to heaven and leave the rest behind?" So he filled her house with gay divines, gifted and great and learned, and the plain old men that preached the cross were out of the pulpit turned. "You give too much to the poor," said the world, "far more than you ought to do. The poor need shelter and food and clothes. Why need it trouble you? Go, take your money and buy rich robes and horses and carriage fine and pearls and jewels and dainty food and the rarest and costliest wine. My children, they dote on all such things, and if you their love could win, you must do as they do and walk in the ways that they are walking in." The church held tightly the strings of her purse and gracefully lowered her head and simpered, "I've given too much away. I'll do, sir, as you have said." So the poor were turned from her door in scorn, and she heard not the orphan's cry, and she drew her beautiful robes aside. As the widows went weeping by, the sons of the world and the sons of the church walked closely hand and heart. And only the Master, who knoweth all, could tell the two apart. Then the church sat down at her ease and said, "I am rich and in goods increased. I have need of nothing and not to do but to laugh and dance and feast." The sly world heard her and laughed in his sleeve and mockingly said aside, "The church is fallen, the beautiful church, and her shame is her boast and pride." The angel drew near to the mercy seat and whispered in sighs her name. And the saints, their anthems of rapture hushed and covered their heads with shame. And a voice came down through the hush of heaven from him who sat on the throne. "I know thy works and how thou hast said, I am rich and hast not known that thou art naked and poor and blind and wretched before my face. Therefore, from my presence I cast thee out and blot thy name from its place."
All right, Tim, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Well, Brother Kenny, I will just say that was one lengthy poem, but it was a blessed poem indeed. And Lord bless whichever one of Ruth's relatives put that whole thing together by herself. But if I had to, in light of that poem, with all the bases to cover and that song, if I had to sum it all up in a nutshell, I would have to sum it up like this. And this is my answer. Be not dead. Be not lukewarm as Laodicea. But faithfully present your body a living sacrifice unto Christ Jesus as unto a faithful creator, God. Are ye?
And are you sure that's your final answer?
Say it again, Tim.
That was... Okay. I didn't hear the clip again. Let me hear the clip again. Yes, Kenny.
Well, Tim, still a foot on the old gas, so you are definitely in overdrive. When you mentioned there about the Church of Laodicea, yep, being in compromise, or the Church at Laodicea, either answer was the correct answer. So we'll take that one. Amen.
Praise God. By his grace, I still got my foot on the gas, if not in overdrive.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Broken, and the seven miles are open, and the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is called Germany. I have one purpose in mind, and that is to show from current world events that the second coming of Jesus Christ is near. Every issue of the newspaper proves this point. As Christian men and women, we have a divine right from the standpoint of the Bible to examine the tremendous amount of tangible evidence regarding present-day Germany in the light of the scriptures, because she is to play a prominent part in end-time prophetic happenings. Wherever world statesmen gather, their subsequent conversation turns to the urgent matter of reuniting Germany. Former U.S. Secretary of State Dean Rusk, while speaking at Davidson College in North Carolina in February 1962, said, "There's no genuinely satisfactory solution to the problems of Germany and Berlin short of the reunification of the country." Regarding the Berlin issue, wherein he described Berlin as a hotspot, Mr. Rusk further stated, "We face the most direct and fundamental Soviet challenge to the position of the United States and indeed of the entire free world." While the former Attorney General of the United States, Robert F. Kennedy, was visiting in Germany in February 1962, he predicted divided Germany eventually will be reunited, but conceded the United States has no magic formula to bring this about. The first secretary of the German embassy in Washington, D.C., Herbert Weil, while speaking at the Riverside, California City College, told an audience in May of 1962, "As long as Germany remains divided, there can be no solution to the Berlin crisis and remain a power keg in Europe." Some time ago, East German communist leader Erich Honecker made a speech in which he predicted that Germany will eventually be united under communism. West Germany is committed by its constitution to reunification through self-determination by citizens in both parts of the divided nation. The German situation outside of the explosive Middle East permits or presents the most challenging political and military situation in all the world today. Presently, there is being created in Germany a new war machine, and it's allowed to expand unhampered. It will make a militant apparatus of Adolf Hitler look like a group of neighborhood kids playing cops and robbers up a back alley. In the past 80 years, the nations of the earth have seen the German military leaders and ruthless armies in the hands of her peaceful neighbors, and in cold blood kill and plunder freedom-loving people in brutal military acts of destructive aggression. Three times in the memory of living mankind, German armies have wantonly invaded, pillaged, destroyed, and devastated the major part of Europe. Each of the previous invasions by German armies has led to inevitable war, and those wars all led to Germany's crushing defeat and demilitarization. But each time, after Germany has been disarmed and after she had faithfully sworn to follow a course of peaceful coexistence with the other nations of the earth, she's invariably rearmed herself and beat her plowshares into swords and again plunged the world into another war of disastrous ruination and devastation. After World War II, which cost the world billions upon billions of dollars and planted millions of our boys, sweethearts and husbands beneath white crosses in Europe, only then were we able to stop Hitler's mighty German war machine. The Allied leaders solemnly pledged that end such a tragic catastrophe would never happen again, virtually assuring the world that the German people would never again possess the implements of war and rank with the mighty military powers of the earth. When World War II ended, Germany was divided, which was one of the big mistakes of the last war. That is, allowing Russia, one of the Allies, to have a part in the division of Germany. After she was divided, she was meticulously stripped of her productive power. The Russians, who were in on her defeat, went so far as to dismantle a great many of the big German factories and ship them to Russia, where they'll be reassembled and war production was begun all over again in the name of the Soviet Union. The Red conquerors at the same time interned the cream of the young German manhood and deported them to slave labor camps to work on secret Russian projects, which was contrary to everything we had fought for in the first place. The United States and the other members of the Allies and their occupational zones were not so harsh and ruthless as the Russians, but just quietly sat by and saw that the Germans produced no munitions or arms in which to engage in another war. The ticklish yet alarming situation went along very smoothly until the outbreak of the Korean War in 1950, at which time the Western powers became mutually suspicious that communist Russia had notorious ideas of enslaving the whole world under the banner of the hammer and sickle, and the prolonging of the Korean War proved to the free world that Russia was willing to use open warfare to achieve her atheistic, ungodly aims of world domination. So at that time, the historical momentous decision was made to allow Germany to rearm and the Allies encouraged that it be done as soon as possible. Why was such a decision made? After the last 80 years had revealed the ruthlessness of the German army upon the whole of Europe, why were the Allies willing to allow this war machine to again prepare itself for battle? The theory behind such an unbalanced decision was that German troops would serve as a protecting child or shield, or delaying force, and could act as a block to the rapid advancing Russian army until the nuclear might of the United States and the NATO organizations could level the Russian homeland in a massive attack of retaliation for red aggression, should Russia exercise her dreams of world conquest. Today, the modern German army is regarded as equal with other troops in all Europe. She stands as a symbol of military might, having come back on the world scene in a few short years from the beaten army of Adolf Hitler to a first-class fighting force that ranks second to none. Presently, the German army has been integrated into the NATO organization. She's under control of NATO commanders at the top level, but there's an adage which says, once a German, always a German. And if the German army decided to change its mind and hit the war path again, who could stop her today? A great number of the military minds of the world are pondering that intricate question and are patiently searching for the answer. Have we, the free world, allowed the German army to make another comeback? The German army is a first-class fighting force and as much presents a very complex problem for the military men in Europe. Have we allowed the creation of another Frankenstein monster, which may someday turn on its captors? In 1962, there were 300,000 Germans under arms, and her military strength composed almost half of the striking power of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The Minister of Defense in Germany, then Erich Strauss, was pushing for a 500,000 man or manned force, which could give the new German army mutual respect throughout all Europe. The German army is a top-quality fighting machine at this moment. There's no finer in all of Europe. As I said earlier, there's a movement on in Germany for the unification of all Germany. This movement of unification of Germany is a highly favored and gaining momentum that all Germans are to be united into one nation. It's a strong bond between the East Germans and the West Germans. The German people do not want to be divided. Recent political actions prove this statement. The West German constitution calls for the reunification of the two Germanys. For quite some time, Bible students have been religiously observing the actions of both East and West Germans. Big question right now, will Russia someday try to grab off Berlin by shutting down the routes over which the West sends supplies and people into the city? She has tried and failed. The world is in a chaotic condition today. Great earth-shaking Bible prophecies may momentarily be fulfilled. All these threatening, grave international situations could suddenly plunge the world into another great war, the like of which we have not seen in our day. But let's not forget one thing. Regarding the military situation that now exists in Germany, as well as other parts of the world, the Bible tells us the whole world is under the control and manipulation of Satan. Scripture, the whole world lieth in darkness. 1 John 5:19. In the marginal reference, this verse reads as follows. The whole world is under the power of the evil one, Satan. 1 John 5:19, Greek text. Therefore, the military situation in Germany, which I have been observing since the close of World War II, has not baffled me for one moment. You may ask, well, why do you seem so confident in relationship to the German situation? Well, according to the scriptures, Germany has become a vital military force in the last days, and the Bible indicates that she is to be reunited because the prophet Ezekiel, writing about 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, saw Germany, or as she was called in Ezekiel's prophecy, Gomer, coming down into Palestine with the forces from the north countries to attack Palestine. Scripture, and I, God, will turn thee, Gog, Russia, back, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, Gomer and all his bands. Ezekiel 38:4-6. Please read the whole of the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, and you will get the complete picture of the invading of the land of Palestine by the forces from the north, of which Gomer is a part. Why do we indicate that the Gomer coming down into the land of Palestine with Russia and her satellites is modern-day Germany? All right, I'll tell you why history and the scriptures both agree. Gomer is a modern-day Germany. When Noah came out of the ark after the flood, his three sons went in different directions from the earth. And remember that the ark came to rest on the earth in the Middle East. Everything began in the Middle East, and everything will have its ending in the Middle East, Mediterranean area. So from the ark's Middle East handling, the three are landing, the last sons of Noah, and forth, and the Bible says the whole of the earth was populated by them. Scripture, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These were the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Genesis 9:18-19. As these three sons of Noah went into different parts of the then known world, they began to settle down and produce children. And the Bible says that Japheth had seven sons. Their names are recorded in Genesis 10:2. Gomer was the first son born of Japheth. The land in which Gomer is settled, according to the best authorities, information available from historical and biblical sources today, is modern-day Germany. I know of no disagreement on the question. If you're studying the aggregate of past events relative to the ancient Celtic family, Scythians, Tartars, the land of Magog, Tubal, and Meshech, you will see that history agrees perfectly with the Bible. Gomer was the progenitor of the ancient
Galatians and Phrygians, from which came the nations of northern Europe, known as the Gauls and Celts, in later times the people known as the Germans, French, Welsh, Irish, Britons, and various others came from the three sons of Gomer. Therefore, we have a valid reason to believe that Gomer of the Bible is present-day Germany. Also, as we look around the world scene today and observe the nation of Germany, who is in 1945 was a beaten, lifeless country who had suffered unmercifully at the hands of the Allies in World War II. And today, we see her, one of the leading military nations in Europe. Well, friends, all you have to do is put two and two together, and they add up to four. Germany is not going to continually remain a divided nation. Her people want to be united. Thus, Germany is to become even stronger. She will be united. You will see sweeping decisions enacted within the confines of the NATO organization, European Common Market, as well as other European countries that will affect the whole world, especially Germany. Germany is becoming stronger. The statesman of the world is saying that the unification of Germany is the only answer to the Berlin question. We are seeing the fulfillment of end-time Bible prophecies. This could only mean one thing, the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's getting very near. It's going to be the most interesting to watch the German drama unfold on the stage of time. We're seeing the culmination of end-time prophecy. This German situation is one of the final acts of fulfilled Bible prophecy for this dispensation. It would appear, according to the scriptures as well, it's Russia coming down from Palestine with Gomer, Germany, when she comes to attack the Jews who have been gathered from the nations of the world, Ezekiel 38:6. We must remember that the arm of God has not been shortened in this manner. The Bible tells us that the word of God must come to pass. And his word says that Russia and all her European communistic satellites are to be kept ready for the appropriate time when they will be used to attack Pakistan. Okay, scripture. And I, God, will bring thee, Russia, forth, and all thine army, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. Gomer, Bible came for Germany, or name for Germany, and all his bands, and the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy country, or company there assembled unto you, in the latter years, time of the end, thou shalt come into the land that was brought back from the world, sword, Palestine, and gathered out of one of many people against the mountains of Israel, Ezekiel 38:4-8. We know that this great invading army spoken of here is led by Russia from the north parts. We know from history and the Bible that Gomer is Germany. We know that Russia is preparing for war. The Bible tells you to keep thou prepared. For we know she now has a tremendous fighting force ready to strike. At the present time, it's possible to forecast exactly what the outcome of the Berlin crisis will be. One thing we do know, God's words will be fulfilled in the letter, especially the details regarding the last day prophecy. It's true, we don't understand each little part of the prophetic program, but it will all fall into place as a time for its fulfillment arise. Let us now lose sight of the fact that God is permitting all of these end-time worldwide situations to develop because the end of this dispensation is going to be quick and swift. We live in the end of the church age. Daniel, writing in the book, which is his name, with us the end will be the arms of a flood. In other words, when the end begins to come to pass, look out. It will move quickly till the final climax, which is the Lord Jesus Christ climbing in clouds of glory to fight the battle of Armageddon, Matthew 25:31-46. Therefore, please allow me to extend to you words of comfort. These are the finest days that the born-again Christian has ever seen. All of these so-called worldwide military actions which is reality in the fulfillment of the Bible prophecies, are all being directed in one general direction, making way for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. In the meantime, we urge you to keep your prophetic eye on Germany. Also keep it in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean area. These are continuing trouble spots, and I will be having much to do in the end times with regard to the fulfillment of major Bible prophecies, including the reunification of Germany. Christians, lift up your heads and rejoice, for your redemption draws nigh. Daniel was told to recall the words which he had written, for they shall be opened in the last days, the time of the end. Thank God the Word of God is being opened, and we are seeing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy from the final days of the present dispensation. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven. The born again will be taken away from all the evil to come. Bible says, comfort ye one another with these words. Next lesson is the United States of Europe.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061. And the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet, and enter Six Eyes Radio, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there, and once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week, and you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIX, E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank you very, very much. And finally, Sister Ruth, as we pull into the station, who do we got on board with us?
And we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you, Brother Six, and a mystery guest. If they want to speak, they have to put the
press
hand,
number one.
Which, yeah,
what's their area code, Ruth?
Yeah.
What's their area code, Ruth?
616.
Okay, caller 616, if you wish to speak, just press the number one. We will take any of your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any questions or comments on the messages that we had. But while we're waiting, Brother Six, do you have any questions or comments tonight or prayer requests?
Great show. As always, praying for my family, your family, praying for increase for us all, and just praying for healing of the world. I like that segment you put in there. I don't know who that guy was speaking, but that I like that segment that you added to that. And keep Angela in prayer. Amen. And with that, I'm complete. Like I say, great show.
Amen.
Amen. With that, I'm complete.
All right.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello? Good.
We can hear you. Go ahead, caller.
I just wanted to share a short testimony.
Okay, go ahead.
Back in 1983, the 6th or 7th of March, I was an alcoholic, and I said to the Lord, I said, if you deliver me from that, I said, I'll serve you. And that's been 40 years ago. And I thank God for that. Yep. Yep. I never even thought about having another drink. So it was a miracle. Yeah, I'm Doug Quick's brother-in-law.
All right. Glad to have you on tonight.
All right.
And he's going to be on tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on here if you want to listen to him. He's going to be preaching tomorrow night.
I know. 40 years sobriety is excellent. So this is Six Eyes. Excellent. 40 years sobriety. If you're up to it, I would love for you to be an inspiration to the rest of the world. I interview you one Saturday or one Thursday. Wolfgang has your information. If you're interested in that, I would love for you to be a testimony and a beacon of help to the rest of the world, because that's excellent.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that tomorrow night.
All right.
Okay, God bless.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, what we'll do is I'll have Brother Quick get your information for us so we can get that set up. Okay, guy? So, all right. Any comments or questions, Ruth, that you had on the messages?
No, everything was very good.
Okay. Well, the segment, the guy that we had on, Brother Six, and if anybody's interested, like I said at the beginning of the show, anybody that's interested in that, all they have to do is go to our website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for F-O-R, theblind.org. They click on sermons, and then they click on holiness. And when they click on that, they go down to where it says softening a crusty heart. They click on that message, and then they could get a free download of that. That's one of the highlighted messages
from our sermons archives in the blind ministry. So, all right. Yeah, it's a great testimony and a testimony of what God can do, even in some of the toughest of us. Amen. So, all right. With that, we are going to ask our good friend, Brother Six, to give us closing prayer, and then we are going to catch everybody tomorrow for our program with Dr. Doug Quick at 9 p.m. on this station, Station 1. You call 424-243-9617 at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we'll catch everybody then. All right, Brother Quick, Brother Six, you are on.
All right. Well, dear Lord, we want to thank you for giving us this day, Wednesday, bringing us to waking our eyes up when our eyes popped open today. We want to thank you for not passing us by, but getting us to this point today. We want to thank you for all you do and continue to do for us each and every day. We want to thank you for bringing us this far in 2024, being March 21st, 2024, March 20th, 2024. We want to thank you for that, all that you continue to do for us each and every day. I want to thank you for blessing us. I want to thank you for healing the ills of the world, keeping us healthy, keeping us strong. And once again, thank you for all you do for us. But what can we do for you? How can we serve you better? Ponder on that. Watch over us as we sleep. For those who are in cold climates, keep them warm. For the homeless, keep their bellies full. Bless us with increase so we're able to do more to help the homeless and continue to bless us in every area as needed. Bless the Six Eyes Radio Network so we're able to do more. And with that, we count it done, and we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. Have a good evening.